that we have left. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Supernatural. Metaphysical. Paranormal. You know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and this is the Journey Radio Show. Hey, we're going to be talking about Bigfoot. So, of course, we are showing up as the She-Squatchers. And so I've got Jenna Grover on the line with me. Hey, Jenna, are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for having me again, Jen.
Well, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming, Jenna. I am so excited to have this evening to talk about Bigfoot. And we're not just talking about Bigfoot. We're talking about our own Bigfoot adventures, basically. And we have a very big trip coming up tomorrow that we're leaving for the Kansas City Paracon in the bright and early in the morning. We'll be headed out. And we're going to be speaking at that event again this year. So it is a three-day event in Kansas City, Missouri. And it'll be held at the Ivanhoe Masonic Lodge. And it is a really, really cool venue out there. And I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that we're the only Bigfoot researchers that are going to be presenting there this year. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to go. This is going to be such a fun trip.
Yes, yes. So we're excited to see everybody, the friends that we made last year, and to meet new friends this year. So quite exciting. We get to go show Kansas City what we found since the last time we were there. So we decided to have a very special guest join us on the show tonight. We're so excited he could join us. Larry Stilday is one of the very few men in the world that we have gotten to take along Bigfooting with us. And he actually is one of our guides on a closed reservation up in northern Minnesota. And he's also a paranormal investigator. So after we had found that really large den-like stick structure last year in August, we had returned back there in the middle of October, and we brought Larry Stilday along because he wanted to see the structure for himself. He wanted to assess who or what could have created it and how it was made and check it out for himself. Now, he's a Red Lake tribal member, and we found that structure on the Red Lake Indian Reservation. And if you are in the chat room, and in our chat room right now, which is at para-x.com, if you're not in the chat room, go join the chat. I just posted a couple of links to some videos, to YouTube videos that I uploaded, yes, just today and yesterday, that are showing some of the things that we would like to talk about tonight on the show. So without further ado, let's welcome Larry Stilday to the show. Hi, Larry. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you? Glad to be here.
I'm so glad you could join us tonight. We've been wanting to have you on the show for a long time and talk about this, but we get so excited about meeting all these other Bigfooters and bringing them on the show that we forget to talk about our own stuff sometimes. So we've decided to take tonight to talk about our own adventures and delve into that a little bit more. So I know that you had seen our videos and everything that from the stick structure before we took you out there. Yeah. And, you know, you wanted to see it for yourself. So kind of what were your thoughts going into that?
Oh, I remember you showing that to me, the evidence and that stick structure from your August adventure. Argus investigation, actually. And that was intriguing because a lot of people have stated that this may be a hunting blind for hunters that are on the reservation. And I can assure you that they do not use those things on the res because not, they don't really require it because they can hunt all year round. So they don't really, not really need to have that. So I wanted to see what this was, what where it was, and it was very. What you showed me was very intriguing, indeed.
I've tried to explain this to people before about the hunt, how about it not being a hunting blind, because people just would not hunt in that way up there. But I don't think they quite grasp that idea. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, it's right, and I just don't really want. There's a reason why. Because they can hunt all year round on reservation, because they make their own laws and it's considered a food source for them. That's not their hunting style there. They pretty much just hop into a truck and go on the trails, and they don't need to hide.
They shoot from the truck.
Yes,
right.
They shoot from the truck.
I know this for sure because you and I were in the woods one day, and here comes a truck driving along one of the old minimum maintenance roads in the forest. And there we are standing, and they've got rifles. Guys are driving, and there's different guys in the back of the truck with their rifles balanced on the hood of the truck, pointing into the woods towards us as they drove by. Yeah. And I freaked out because my hair looks like a deer. And we decided, yep, it's time to leave now. So, yeah, I will never forget that day. I know that back in, I think it was at March or April last year, that we found those big tracks in the gravel pits, Jenna. And I had told the team, about this hunting style.
Mm-hmm.
And, Nikki, of course, she lives up there. She knows that. But I think the other people on the team didn't really fathom that idea until a truckload of guys came driving into the gravel pits like that.
With guns and
guys standing in the back with guns on, guns up and pointing out. And the look on everybody else's faces was priceless.
Well, I tell you, I was a little nervous too at first when I saw a big truckload of men sitting on the side of a truck with guns, but after you mentioned what it was, then it was like, oh, I get it,
they're hunting.
Yeah perfect.
That's
way
how they... And so if you were a person that wanted to go against the grain and build a hunting blind up there right next to a trail that they can drive by on, I mean, how safe is that? Not very safe at all. So, I mean, these are all reasons why we do not think it could be a hunter, right? The other thing was that when natives build structures out of sticks, like wigwams are built out of red willow tree sticks that are really bendy, and they're tied together, right? So when they build some structures like that are made of sticks or trees, they tie them together. And a lot of times they'll even tie them together with prayer ties. So nothing on the structure was tied together or nailed together or screwed together. So that was another indication to me that this was definitely not a person who built this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Larry, what's your take on that?
Oh, absolutely. It's the structure that that are out there with you was not glued yet. It was not tied together or nailed together. It seems like it was just built like a rudimentary something to cover you. Where you place the sticks and other branches. It there was like no, I would guess what I would say like permanency, like a wigwam or a teepee would have. This was like was just thrown together for a very short time use. And like it was almost like a basic model of what one would do out there if you needed a structure just to cover yourself with.
So, and I've got a question for you, Larry. So you can basically tell everyone yes or no if that was made by hands or if it was made by nature? Because I know people have asked, that's a big question, is could these have been fallen trees? Could these, you know, what are your words on that?
No, I don't think that was nature caused that. That was actually built. There's no way the sticks and stuff could have fallen in that kind of pattern and been put together randomly. Like the wind just decided to blow all this direction, that direction perfectly to land these sticks up. As you demonstrated some of the videos, that you could actually get inside there and, you know, pretty much be hidden. And there's just no way that if you go out in the woods and see any kind of random pile of sticks, you could still see through the pile. And this, you couldn't see the person sitting inside there.
Isn't that amazing? That's so exciting. I'm really glad that you did get a chance to come out with us and check it out. And I'm so glad right now that you can be on the air and kind of explain what you thought of it and how you felt. Did you feel anything, or what did you really think when you were out there?
To be honest, I was kind of worried about the whole hunting thing for a while there.
Oh no.
They were trudging out in this woods, and it's, you know, it was still daylight out, and you know, even though the trail to get out there was one, but it was farther away from where we actually started walking. You know, from a distance, you know, with us being out there, and none of us were really wearing any blaze orange or any other kind of reflective thing to indicate that we were people. You know, we could have been, you know, bang bang.
Yeah,
so no doubt. I kind of had that little apprehension walking there, but other than that, I didn't feel anything until I got towards night. When the sun went away, that's when I started thinking, this is kind of interesting. It's an interesting feel out here.
And wasn't it strange how dark it was even during the day with all of those, the coverage of all the trees? It made it just so dark and dense in there. So there wasn't, even during the day, there wasn't a lot of coverage as far as sun coming through.
And one thing I noticed too, was it seemed to be like it was almost like a mist out there, like a mist from a distance. I thought that was really, really intriguing. Like it wasn't humid out. Like it obviously wasn't a fall. But I was like, is there like a mist out here? It's like, wow. It just kind of gave a little bit of a creepy feeling to it.
That we actually had that in our first footage when we first were walking up on it. It looked foggy back there, misty, yeah. Foggy. Like you couldn't really clearly see back there. And I didn't encounter that anywhere else in the woods that day that I can recall at all. But you can see that on the very first stuff. I don't think we posted any of that on YouTube yet. But and I actually have thought about putting that up on there. But I don't know. I just kind of don't want to put anything out there where people can go, hey, that looks like the thing they put out there.
Yeah, right? Let's all go look for that thing that they put up.
Yeah, I'm kind of hesitant about that. what I found very, very interesting that day when we returned with Larry is, you know, we parked in pretty much the same place that we had parked the first time at first, and we walked up to the structure, and I was convinced that this was not it. And Jenna, did you feel that it was not the right structure?
Oh, very much so. Both Jen and I, it was just like, is this the right place? We walked around so much of the area, and it was like we were in a completely different spot. But it was the same spot because we had certain things that we knew, I guess, I don't even know how to explain it. When we walked back there, it was completely different, but it was the same. Same, but different. So same but different.
I felt confused about it.
I did too. And that's the thing. It was almost that confusion in your head going, it almost felt like there was no north, south, east, and west. It was like, it was a complete blur. And normally I'm really good at knowing which direction I am in, as we both know, Jen, because I'm amazing at it. No, I'm kidding.
But I'm really directionally challenged.
You are. No, we'll get you better though. But really, I mean, normally I feel so much better. Or, you know, I just did not understand why I was so confused in that area. It just was not the same.
And I just wanted to walk deeper and deeper into the forest. I did. Yeah. I did. Mm-hmm. It was the weirdest compulsion. I wanted to go deeper and deeper. So in the end, I decided this wasn't it. And we walked back. I think we drove back further on the trail and started looking in a different spot. And we kept looking. And then I found another side trail. I looked at it on the satellite imagery, and I'm like, you know what? Let's go up here, because then we can walk back through the woods and find it that way, because I know it's right here. So when we did that, we came up on the structure from a different angle, and I'm like, you know what? I know this is it, because when I looked at it from that other angle, I was like, this is absolutely, why didn't I think this was it before? And then it was just like all that confusion went away, and this was it. It was very obvious that it was it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that to me was really, really weird that we both felt that way.
Yeah.
It was really, very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, some of the structure had been taken down, and it's obvious that it hadn't fallen down. It was literally picked up and placed.
And these are big pieces that have been picked up and placed. These weren't things that one person could just go, hey, let's just move this real quick so they'll never know it's here. You know what I mean? These are big pieces.
Yeah, big, huge logs that were moved and actually laying the other way on the ground. That wouldn't happen if it just fell. So, and while we were there that time, I walked up to it, part of that part that's like the back wall of it. I picked it up and I shook it. I shook it to see if it would fall down, and it didn't. It didn't hardly budge.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is tight.
Yeah, it was very sturdy. I wasn't worried about being inside of it. It was very, very sturdy.
Yeah, yeah. So we were out there, and because we were so convinced that this wasn't the right structure, we walked around until we had lost a lot of time. And by the time we decided this was really the structure, the sun started to go down, and there we were. So we were switching over to our night vision stuff from our day cameras to night cameras, and then I couldn't remember how to make my monocular record, and I messed with it. I mean, it was just a day of confusion for me, but I'm just gonna be frank, I was confused anyway. And I kept remembering, I was like, Jenna, do you remember how to make this record? And then Larry brought out his new— tell us about your camera, Larry, the new night vision.
I've got a couple of cameras, and one is just a standard video camera, high definition video camera, which I really like using during the daytime and just for other videos. The other one I have another standard night vision camera, which is really not all that great. It's just kind of your generic night vision camera, very, very short range. It really needs a lot of extra light. But then I also have a full spectrum camera, and that one really, really, really picks up everything it can with its own little light outside of having, you know, like a phantom light or any other infrared light structure or source. And I used that one, and I believe you guys used your monoculars to record evidence. So, and my night vision, my full spectrum camera really picked up a lot of nice imaging.
Nice.
It did. And I shared a video of that, a link to the YouTube video of that in the chat room here tonight. So it's the night vision link that I shared in the chat room here, if you guys want to go up and look at it. There was an anomaly that you picked up, Larry, in that video. And of course, you didn't see it at the time, did you?
No, I did not see it at the time. No, after reviewing, going over the evidence, there are videos I got then, hours and hours of that video, that I then saw this anomaly, which really was, I thought, wow, what is that? What— it really intrigued me, because being a paranormal investigator and seeing something that in a house or some structure when I'm looking for spirits, you know, it's like, God, I want to see something like that. But this was really, really, really intriguing. And it really, it's like, wow, what is that?
It was really neat.
Can you describe it for the listeners? So, since it's radio, give a visual.
Well, I'm just you two were off in your direction. You were looking into the structure and around, and I think you were looking at hearing sounds in the woods. I kind of went in the opposite direction, just a few feet from us, but it was so dark, you know, we could barely see each other. I just started panning around to the woods. And as I'm panning, this, I didn't know at the time, this thing just comes flashing by. It just comes super flashing by real quick. And I thought, well, it wasn't windy, so I know it wasn't a leaf blowing up a tree. Birds don't really fly at night. There's no bats. And it's much too large to be an insect. So I'm just going, what is that? So, you know, try to slow it down. It's like, I don't know what that is. And it goes by so quickly, too. It's just, wow. I mean, of all the things to see, that was the only thing that really flew by. You know, from all the footage, I don't see any of the leaves falling down. I don't see, you know, like I said before, no birds, no insects, only this. That was really, like, what is that? Especially being where we were, you know.
How big was it?
It almost looks, and one of the frame captures you said, almost looks like the size of a bird, but those aren't wings. And it just goes from really small to really big as it gets close by the camera, but it goes by so quickly.
So does your camera do like a frame by frame, or is this just something that you were stopping, starting, pausing, starting?
It goes starting, stopping, pausing. On the mode I had it on, it didn't do it frame by frame.
Oh, okay. Boy, that would have been amazing.
When I looked at it, so you can watch it, I think, on YouTube, on different speeds on YouTube. You can select the speed that you watch it on. I'm not a YouTube expert, so I got to look into that some more. But I'm told that you can. But when I was looking at it just on my computer, and I slowed down the speed to watch it, to me, it almost looked like a pie slice flying by.
Had you eaten yet that day?
No, it was the shape of a slice of pie, but there was nothing in between the middle. You know, if I can, you know, it seemed like there was a line of light, you know, separated by nothing. But yet it was in the shape of a pie slice. That's what it kind of looked like to me.
See, now you've shared this, right, Jen? Like, I mean, this is public, so anybody can go out and check it out and see what they think.
Yep, on our YouTube channel, which is She Squatchers Official. That's our YouTube channel. It's the video that is like night vision capture, I think is what it's called. I'm going to go back and just like make sure of what it's called. Let's see. It is called Night Vision, October 15th, 2017. Night Vision.
Nice. Well, if you guys get a chance out there, give it a look and maybe let us know what you think it could be.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, that was one of the cool things that Larry caught on his video. He had different kinds of video cameras than we have. So it was neat to have his extra cameras out there capturing different things from different angles. And I just have to say, you know, Larry has told me before to stand still and video very slowly and use, you know, maybe I should use a tripod and whatever. And I got to say it right back to him.
Now that's funny.
I was like, hey, you were doing the same thing, but it's kind of exciting out there. You're like, oh, look at this.
Oh, yeah.
And it at the time, it makes more sense when you're there because you can see the whole picture. But on the camera, you really can't see it all at once.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
But there was another part of that particular video where you got to show. I kept asking you if you could video these sticks right here. And it was a spot where there were trees growing out of the ground. But then something had taken sticks and shoved them in the ground right there. A whole bunch of sticks, like... And that was one of the reasons why when we would walk away from it from a different angle, we were having a hard time seeing the structure because there was so many different things in front of it. So it was pretty neat that we got to do that. And then, you know, you decided to go back to the car.
You were starting to have battery draining. The cameras were starting to drain. And it's like, well, kind of standing in the middle of the woods in the dark, let's go back to the car.
And
make sure we can find the car, too, because it was really, really dark out there.
Yes, it was very, very dark. And that was the night, wasn't it, where everything pretty much just went dead, right? And then when we, our last bit of juice, there's a video of the flash of the light from the flashlight going on and off and on and off. And that's when we started getting a little bit nervous because we were hearing something. And I think both of us were like, we were feeling something was out there. We were being watched by something. So that was interesting.
In the end, Larry was down the trail in the car and Jenna and I were in the dark, dark woods and everything died, even our flashlights. And I had 13% left of on my cell phone. And I happened to have two headlamps in my pack.
Thank goodness.
And I actually said, Jen, I have an extra headlamp for you before we even went out there. And she says, I don't need that. I have my own stuff. And I almost took it out of my pack.
No, I said it kinder than that. I was like, Jen, I have plenty of stuff myself. That's how kind I was when I said it. I'm kidding. I probably said it more like Jen just said.
So I almost took it out of my pack, but something inside me said, no, keep it because, you know, you never know when you need that. And mm-hmm. it was a good thing, too, because I handed Jenna this extra headlamp that I had for her in my pack. And that was the light by which we were trying to find our way out of the woods. And in the end, well, I probably shouldn't shorten the story because Jenna wouldn't get to tell her fun part. Because I said, okay, Jenna, lead the way. And then what happened?
So Jen, well, I think, and I think I've told everyone this before, but yeah, so Jen's like, you know, I just don't know where we're going. Jenna, you know what? Fine. You know, can you just get us, just lead the way? And I said, okay. I said, I think it's this way. And she goes, Jenna, you're wrong. And then she told me I was wrong and that we had to go the other way. And it was like, Jen, I just know it. Because like I said before, I feel pretty confident in my directions. But yeah, when Jen said I was wrong, I was like, ah. Oh. Well, maybe I am. Then I started second guessing myself. And then, oh, thank you, Larry. I'll let you go ahead, Jen.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I remembered in my head about all the times that people get lost in the forest and they just keep walking and they're going the wrong way and they don't know they're walking further away and then they're getting really, really lost. So I said, no, I think we should just stop and call for Larry because we might be walking in the wrong direction and not even know it because the little headlamps, they didn't light up very much at all. We could barely see in front of us. We couldn't see. And so then I texted Larry and I called Larry and he didn't answer. And he didn't answer. So pretty soon we see a light coming down the trail. Larry was walking down the trail.
Thank you, Larry. With the flashlight.
Yeah.
With the working flashlight.
Yeah. 500,000 candle power flashlight, one of those super powered ones. That's what I went back for.
I tell you what, you guys, guess what I went and got? I got some light sticks. So even if our batteries go out, we will now have light sticks that are 12 hour glowing.
Will they help us find the trail?
Depends. What trail are we talking about?
Well, like we couldn't see the trail with the headlamps.
Oh my gosh, yeah, these are great. I don't know if anybody out there has ever used them, but these are awesome. They're weatherproof. They don't attract bugs. They're just great to use when you don't have, or like say your batteries go out like ours did. These don't take batteries.
With our headlamps, we couldn't see the trail either. That's my whole point. I'm just saying, good job, Jenna. We're going to use them when we go camping.
Thank you. And I'm just going to be positive and say, yes, we will be able to see the trail with this because there's not only one, there's two.
awesome, there you go. So but Larry saved the day. He came down the trail with the lights and showed us we were like 10 feet away from the trail and we couldn't see it. And I just was playing it safe. Yeah, Larry left us and he has a flashlight. All right, on that note, we're going to go to break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay tuned, everybody.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead, people find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Parax.
Come explore an innovative oracle deck that looks into the world of the wise women, the healers, the seers, the witch. This powerful and insightful deck was created by Marla Brooks, host of Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X radio network, and beautifully illustrated by Anya Khan. It includes an easy-to-read booklet and guide with straightforward, gentle guidance on using the deck and interpreting the messages of the cards. And unlike other Oracle decks, each card comes with its own personalized magical incantation that provides energy, reinforces the card's meaning, and helps the desired message to be sent out into the universe. The Witch's Oracle is the ideal divination deck for witches and non-pagans alike, and it works well for both seasoned readers and beginners. To find out more about the Witch's Oracle deck, go to www.marlabrooks.com and click on the Oracle Deck link.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, and this is the Journey Radio Show, and we are the She Squatchers. When we're not online live on the air, you can find us at thejourneyradioshow.com and also at shesquatchers.com. And you can find us on the YouTube at She Squatchers Official and also at Facebook, She Squatchers Official. So we're back with Larry Stilday, paranormal investigator and our native guide on the closed Indian reservation in northern Minnesota. So, Larry,
yes.
It's nice to have you back on the show. And before we continue on, I want to give a shout out to Mama Squatcher in the chat room. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, girl. We love you. You're awesome. You know that. We love your whole family, actually. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And congratulations and good luck at She's Starting College.
Yes. I'm so proud of her. That's so awesome.
That is awesome. I know she's going to do really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Blimp from Southern Illinois Monster Hunters is in there, and he says, rule number 6 of Blimp, always make sure your gear is up to date and up to par. And I'm just going to say, that is a very good rule.
Yes.
But our gear was charged and ready, and it was draining in a very unusual fashion.
And
Larry
quickly.
Was there very quickly. Yep. And Larry, you can...
My gear is always charged when we go on investigation. I'm fully prepared and fully ready to go. Yeah. So.
And what happened?
The batteries went dead. They just went too quickly. Much, much too quickly than your average investigation that I've been on.
And it wasn't just his cameras. It was all of our stuff.
All
everything.
Of it. Yeah.
Everything and, we were using.
And like Jen...
Even the high-powered flashlight I wanted to go back to get was starting to drain. It was starting to go into lower setting. Like it does when it starts more power.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's the odd part about it. And sometimes I wonder, do you think it has anything to do with like any magnetism? You know how magnets tend to dry out batteries or tend to, what would you call it, Larry? Magnets are not good to have by batteries, right?
Yeah, well, electromagnetism. We actually would kind of feel that on your skin, though. You'd kind of make your hair stand up. You actually would feel it or feel that intensity.
You'd think.
I didn't feel anything like that at all there.
See, either did I, but I thought, well, there's something in the ground there, or maybe it's just something out there that did it, so...
Now, I've heard other Bigfoot researchers talk about the battery drain. It's a paranormal, unexplained thing that happens. And I guess there are articles out there that talk about how to EMF protect your gear so that doesn't happen. We should look into that, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
a great idea.
Lost in the dark again.
Yes. Thank you for the idea, Blimp, though. We appreciate it.
Yes. But we were fully charged, fully prepared, and it just, everything started draining. And we had a buttload of equipment out there.
Oh, yes.
And you know, it seemed like whatever we were using was just going dead really fast.
Oh, quick, yeah. Didn't we have something on a tripod out there? Was that also during? Because I know that was outside of where we were, but it was set up.
That was my binocular, and it hasn't worked right since.
Oh, wow.
Because we were trying to use that last time, and you couldn't get it to not be blurry.
That's right. We're going to have to get that looked at.
Yeah. Hey, Larry, would you have a look at it, perhaps?
Larry, you have to take care of it.
That would be awesome.
I've got a few things you need to take care of, too. I've got some other equipment and...
I knew you said you need your lawn mowed and some laundry done.
Well, I was going to say that, and then I thought, you know. Maybe that's, yeah, right? I really like coffee, so.
There you go. I think he's applying to come with us or something.
I'm sorry, Larry. This is a girls' weekend only.
Actually, it's a girls' week.
I know. It's going to be so fun.
We're going to be gone for a whole week. Well, the event is 3 days long. We're taking a day to travel to there, and then we have the event for 3 days. And then after that, we're going to head out to do a camping, a couple days in an area that we felt was quite squatchy when we found it last year.
Oh, yeah.
So we're very excited. Tammy is going to meet us there in Kansas City and travel back with us so we can all do this adventure together. So it'll be us three girls.
Yes.
It'll be a good time.
Tammy is so awesome. I don't know if you guys, she's been on the show. I'm sure you guys have heard Tammy. She is so amazing. It's so awesome to have Tammy on the team. I just wanted to give her a shout out. Thank you, Tammy, for wanting to be part of this fabulousness.
And she's already there. She's already in Missouri.
Yeah.
She left on Monday, I think. Yeah.
Everything to beat us, Jen. She always has to beat us. No, I'm kidding. She's
awesome. Yeah, she is awesome. So I wanted to ask Larry, do you have an idea of why equipment does that? Why does it drain so quickly in some places? Do you have a theory on that?
I would go along with what other paranormal investigators normally say is that the spirits generally use that energy in the batteries to manifest themselves in order to become, you know, an apparition or to knock on things or to throw stuff, you know, do things. And they just can't do it themselves, so they take the energy that's around them. And to me, one of the most abundant energies on this planet is thermal energy. I mean, we need it, we use it all the time. We wouldn't be here if the planet wasn't warm. But out there it was cold, so they just used the battery power that we have to manifest.
Do you think those were spirits? Because other people report this happening with Bigfoot experiences as well.
Mm-hmm.
I will go on record and say yes, mostly due to the location. The location out there where we investigated. Definitely.
You're saying yes to...
That I would believe it's spirits. And they were using the power to manifest.
Okay.
Gotcha. So when in other circumstances and other locations with other Bigfoot researchers, when their equipment goes dead, what do you think would cause that?
bad luck. I wouldn't know, and I don't want to speculate. I'm only going to say what I feel because I was there.
Yeah.
And... You know, I've been on, you know, normal investigations looking for spirits and have the same issue happen. The battery's very drained, dead, and we get EVPs or, well, we see shadow people or other paranormal phenomena also would occur. So that's what I tend to lean that way for that particular incident with us.
Okay, gotcha. Now, I sent you a link earlier today to look at a video that I uploaded from one of our, Jenna and I's more recent adventures. We went out on a Bigfoot expedition and we were in an area in Minnesota that we were investigating a Bigfoot report that had been given to us. So the witness reported seeing Bigfoot walking from one grouping of trees to another grouping of trees. And all of it was in the middle of this marshy bog area, a very large marshy bog area. And when the landowner was contacted and asked for permission to go out there, they would not get permission because it's not safe to go out there in the marshy bog. You could fall through, you know, and you just don't know what is safe to walk on and what isn't. It's just not a safe area to be going out to. So we couldn't go out there and look directly at the place where the person had reportedly seen Bigfoot walking. So we decided we would take Jenna's handy dandy unocular, which can see pretty far in the dark, and go out there at night and see if we could scope it out from a distance. And that was pretty exciting to do that. So, Jenna, you want to tell a little bit about what that was like to look at everything there? I know you were feeling frustrated with this particular area that was blurry and you couldn't get it to clear up.
Oh, yeah. It was just, you know, this unocular is an amazing piece of equipment. As far as distance goes, it is so sharp. And boy, Jen, I mean, you have to admit, and Larry, have you seen the monocular videos?
Yes,
sir. How clear and sharp they are?
Yes,
so, yeah. Isn't it? So, yeah. So when I was looking through the monocular and everything was nice and clear, and all of a sudden I hit this one area to the right and it was completely blurry. And I thought, what is going on? And I checked to make sure I wasn't like, it wasn't facing on the car. I was checking to make sure there was nothing in front of it. You know how sometimes you've got like, who knows, maybe just like a hand or maybe it's part of the window or, you know, so I was checking everything out and I couldn't figure out why it was so blurry. And I even commented to Jen, I said, Jen, I just can't focus on this area. And it was so strange. And that was right before, was that right before we started seeing the lights, Jen?
So I'm going to say that was the batch of trees to the right. And
yes.
Then, and there was a batch of trees on the right. There was a batch of trees on the left. This was the batch of trees on the right that wouldn't come into focus on the unocular. And then what was interesting is only one of us can look through that at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped on my phone and started looking at satellite view of that area. And that part, the same clumping of trees, was blurry on satellite view.
Yeah.
Weird. Just, I mean, what is there something up there? We don't know, but it's strange.
Yeah.
That it would both be, you know, coming up blurry that way. So I find that odd and bizarre. And so we're just going to note it.
Yeah, definitely.
We don't know if there's something going on there or not. Maybe it's just equipment. I don't know, but it's odd.
It is.
So then we were about ready to leave. And I started to see lights in the grouping of trees on the left. And I asked Jenna if she could turn the camera back on and see if she could see the lights through that. And she could. She took for a little second to find them. And so we did share that video, link to that video in the chat room earlier. And it's called, on our YouTube channel, which is She Squatchers Official, the video is called Strange Lights While Investigating. So if you go and you look at that one, you can see the strange lights. So I asked Larry to have a look at that, and so he could talk to us about that tonight. But first of all, in the video, if you're listening really close, you can hear me saying, "Is there a road back there behind that?"
Mm-hmm.
And I started to look at the satellite view to see if there was a road back there, which there is not. And I tried to reason it away.
Yeah.
I did.
You tried to debunk it.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, both of us were sitting there wondering what this could be. I mean, this was a really neat situation.
So, Larry, you know, we've had other people reporting lights to us near or right before or after a Bigfoot sighting. So, of course, this is going to get our attention. So what are your thoughts on that as a paranormal investigator?
You want the thoughts on the video or thoughts about the lights?
Both.
I have nothing I can really say offhand about seeing lights around various Bigfoot sightings. So I really have no comment on that one. But your video, one thing I found very interesting about it was how slow it starts out at first. You know, your lights are moving very, very slowly. And then getting towards the end of it, they go to zoom by. It's just like, well, if there's no road and that's not a car, how did it go from just going literally to a crawl? All of a sudden, it's like it's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing that I did see in your video that kind of gives me a little bit of skepticism in it, is that there's one frame where the light bounces and it almost looks like it's a beam. And if we didn't get a chance to go back over it and talk about it off air, Jen, but it's about, when you see the lights, I would say maybe two-thirds of the way through the video, you'll see the beam will, as you're looking at the screen, will go off to your right.
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking of when it became two lights?
Yes, but no, this almost looked like a beam, but it was really quick, and I've seen this before.
Really?
Investigation with people, someone will bring a flashlight with, and there'll be two different groups, and you know, you're not supposed to use it, but someone always doesn't know if you adhere to the rules when you get in big groups like that. And turn a flashlight, and you'll see that particular beam go by. You'll see, oh, there's a light. Well, you know, there's another group out there, and then they'll flash it around clumsily, and that beam from a distance, you'll see, especially on a camera. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, but I was very intrigued about how slowly they were and then how fast towards the end. I mean, if that was a person, you know, out there walking, they would have had to get on something and then, you know, like an ATV, if there was, like you said, a marshy bog area back there and there was no road for them to go that quickly, just to get that quickly out of frame.
Yeah.
So, but still, because of that flash, I don't know. I don't know if that was a flashlight, a headlight. I don't know.
See, and that's what we were talking about too, because of course we're always going to try to debunk things rather than prove it's right. You know, it's to prove it's true is to prove it's wrong is what we want to do. That's what we have to do. So we were talking about all of those different things that it could be. But you know, with that ground, I think it was really marshy, and we heard that, you know, that area you could easily sink, and it's actually a very dangerous area to be walking through. Wasn't that what they said, Jen, that it was just really boggy?
It's a marshy bog. And for people who have never been around a bog is like a floating piece of land on a lake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very spongy. It's like walking on a mattress that might have a hole in it, and you could fall right through and never, you know, you'd be under. It's like falling under the ice, but you can't find your way back up. That's kind of the thing. People die by walking through bogs because they'll fall right through the bog or step off an edge of it and just go down under the water and can't find their way back up.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back there again and to the same area and check everything out from all views, every possible view, you know, during the daytime, and just see what we can find. Even though I think you said you looked at it from the top view, from the aerial view, right?
Mm-hmm. I did. Yep. Of course, we're going to go back up there and look at it again.
Oh, yeah. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, we're going to be back up there again, so we'll go check it out again, but not this time. This time we're headed south to Kansas and Missouri and Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to all those places in the next week, so that'll be awesome. That'll be awesome. So, you know, we've got a little bit of time left on the show, and Larry, I just want to get more feedback from you about the stick structure that we found up there on the reservation. So you don't think it was a hunter that built that?
No, I know it's not a hunter that built that.
Do you think a native built that?
From where it was at, I can't see a bunch of Indian youths going back there and building a fort. There'd be just no reason. It's so out of the way. It's just so off the trail, out of the way, and so deep in the woods. It's like, no, I don't see that either.
Yeah.
So it was definitely made. It was not nature blowing sticks around in a random pattern. It just happened to fall into a structure. So it was built.
Go ahead.
I wish I could have seen it, you know, when you guys saw it in the springtime rather than the fall, because obviously nature did come and, you know, stir up the area a little bit, you know, leaves would fall.
Oh, you would have been so amazed. Oh, Larry, you would have just been so amazed.
Yeah, but it was definitely built. You know, somebody definitely built that.
I remember when Jenna crawled inside of it while you were there, you were commenting about how it definitely provides shelter.
Well, you could barely see her at all in your videos that you took, you know, previously. And if she could fit so completely inside it, I mean, yeah, that's not random. That someone built that to fit a body in there.
A big body.
Yes, a big body.
Much bigger than Jenna.
Yeah, it was very lengthy. Very, very. And I had my arms like way above my head, stretched out way above my head. And there was probably another, 3-4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. I would have slept there. If I camped, I would have slept there.
And it was comfy like a mattress, she said.
Well, it was definitely worked up. It was so soft. That's why I'm saying I'd sleep there. It was comfortable. There was not any kind of bugs. There were no twigs. That's the weird part of all of this. There was nothing that, like, if I were to be wearing shorts and a tank top, I could have laid on that ground and not have felt like, ouch, you know, I'm getting sticks and twigs all over my body. That's what I mean. It was just so soft. It was incredible. I'll go in the next one too, gall darn it.
Jenna goes inside.
Jenna goes inside. There you go, Zach. Hashtag.
There you go. That's right. So yeah, we're excited to go. We want to go back and check it out. We go there with us, Larry.
Yes.
Go back and check it out again.
Yes, I would like to go see if, you know, after all this time, to see if it's still there and still got most of its integrity. Then obviously it was hand built. There's no way nature could have, you know, would have eventually stirred it up and thrown everything around. Maybe not even find it because nature stepped in and, you know, took care of it. But if it's still there, like I said, with a great deal of its integrity left, then definitely it was hand-built.
Mm-hmm. See, now, when we were there, I was thinking that part of it was taken down, maybe because we had been there and found it. But in hindsight, afterwards, I thought, you know, it's almost winter. All the leaves had fallen. Mm-hmm. If it had still been up in its full form, it would have been easily seen without all the leaves on the trees. Perhaps that whoever built it was just taking it down to keep it hidden for the winter.
And not only that, it did serve a purpose confusing us.
Oh my
gosh. We weren't even sure that it was the right area. So it probably did what it was meant to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But it started me thinking about if this was made by Bigfoot, and if they are using this as, you know, some type of a home base, what would they do with it in the wintertime when all the foliage is gone? I mean, obviously, they're probably not living in that in the wintertime. They have to make other ways. It's too cold. Mm-hmm. It's too cold in northern Minnesota for that. So if they leave it the way it is, somebody might see it easily in the winter forest, mm-hmm, without having any foliage out there. So it would make sense that they would have to winterize their structures so that they aren't found.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the structure of that size and being in northern Minnesota where we get tremendous amounts of snowfall, one would think that the snowfall, it would just look like a bunch of trees, you know, as you could see around before, a big pile of tree, like a big snow pile. You know, there's trees underneath it.
Yeah. Fallen.
So I don't see why they would need to winterize it.
You know what would be really... You know what would be really neat, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Jen, but you know what would be amazing is if we could go back there and all of a sudden it was like it was original.
That would be neat.
In its original form. Now, that would be cool.
Well, let's
now,
go.
Now I'm all excited just to check it out.
Well, like you were saying too, Jen, that was a minimum maintenance road. I can't see a bunch of people going out there in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Just deep, thick snow.
Yeah.
Just for the heck of it.
I don't think people would drive down there. It's not plowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they would.
And the trail, like I said, minimal maintenance. There are too many trees hanging over the main part of the trail. Even taking a snowmobile would be dangerous.
Yeah, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's true, too. I didn't even think about taking a snowmobile out there.
I know my mind was just going ding 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 ding. Let's see, four wheeler, snowmobile. What else can we take? Let's go hiking. Oh my gosh, yeah.
We would need snowshoes for sure in the wintertime. We would need
snowshoes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That would be cool though.
That's a lot longer back in the woods than we would think it was when we drive it.
Oh yeah. It's actually way out of the way too. I mean, this road is a long, windy road, and parts of it doesn't even look like a road in some areas. So we had to move some trees and some branches and some large.
It was good that Larry was with us that day because there was a really big tree.
Quite a few branches of trees.
Yes.
There was a really big tree in the road that day, and I was like, oh, good thing Larry's here. Larry, hey, get at that, would you?
Yeah, usually Jen makes me do it. So okay, thank you, Larry.
Always true. I remember the first time we were out there with Nikki, I got out and was moving the trees off the road. I did it.
Oh, I must have forgotten that. I'm so sorry, Jen. I'm so proud of you. Next time you're going to do it. I'm kidding. I like to do it. It's exercise. I'll do it.
There you go. Well, I think the last time that we were out and you moved trees, Jenna, that was because I was driving.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was that. So there.
Yeah, we have to take Jen's vehicle because it's nice and big and she can go down these low maintenance roads. And
it's already rusty, so it doesn't matter if it's scratched up.
And the trees go across the side of it.
And they do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jen.
I posted a video on our Facebook page. It's not even up on YouTube. It's just on Facebook. And it's up to almost 1,500 views now.
Oh, wow.
And it's just a minimum maintenance road. And I cannot believe how many people have viewed that. It's just nuts. I just said it's minimum maintenance road.
Are we saying anything weird on there? I know I've listened to it once, but so it's nothing that we're saying. Maybe we just sound Norwegian or something and people are like, aha, listen to them.
I think people want to see what's down those minimum maintenance roads. I think most people don't want to drive down there and scratch up their vehicle because they just don't chance it. So,
true.
You know, I always wondered what's down there. When I'd see those signs and didn't dare drive down there, I always wondered what's down there. I wanted to know. So, of course, that would be my curiosity.
According to horror movies, it's always some old house where a crazed killer lives.
Right?
So gotta go investigate that. Have to go and see down there.
Yeah. We'd be like the total, the people that survive. We'd be like the winners at the end. We'd be like, yeah, we defeated the bad guy. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we're at the end of the show. I just want to give a shout out to Quinlan in the chat room. Hey, Quinlan. And
hi, Quinlan.
Yeah. So, and I do not have a Rolls Royce Cater. Cater says I have a Rolls Royce. Yeah, right. It's a Rolls bunch of rust.
Oh, funny.
Hi, Cater. Hi, Cater. So, anyway, I want to. He says, oh, Fred says I have a Range Rover. No, it's actually a Chevy Envoy. Envoy. So it's an older one, so it's served me well. But that's the end of our show. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We are The Journey Radio Show. Check us out online at thejourneyradioshow.com, and we will see you next week on Wednesday. Keep squatchy, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Mm-hmm.